Chapter 8. When, having gone across the lawn in darkness silently, a figure flits like one a wing out from the nearest tree. Oh, love is, yes, a great thing to me. Will these be always great things to me? Let it befall that one will call, owl, I have need of thee. What then? Joy jaunts, impassioned flings, love, and its ecstasy, will always have been great things to me. The chimes, that morning when I trod the town, the twitching chimes of long renown played out to me the sweet Sicilian sailor's tune, and I knew, not if late, or soon my day would be. A day of sunshine barrel bright and windless. Yea, think as I might, I could not say, even to within ear's measure, when one would be at my side who then was far away. When hard utilitarian times had stilled the sweet St. Peter's chimes, I learned to see that bale may spring where blisses are, and one desired might be afar, though near to me. The figure in the scene, it pleased her to step in front, and sit where the cragged slope was green, while I stood back, that I might pencil it with her amid the scene, till it gloomed and rained. But I kept on, despite the drifting, wet that fell and stained my draft, leaving four curious quizzings, yet the blots ingrained. And thus I drew her there alone, seated amid the gauze of moisture, hooded, only her outline shone, with rainfall marked across. Soon past our stay, yet a rainy form is the genius still of the spot, immutable, yea, though the place now knows her no more, and has known her not ever since that day. From an old note. Why did I sketch an upland green, and put the figure in of one on the spot with me? For now that one has ceased to be seen, the picture waxes akin to a wordless irony. If you go drawing on down, or cliff, let no soft curves intrude of a woman's silhouette, but show the escarpments stark and stiff as in utter solitude, so shall you half forget. Let me sooner pass from sight of the sky than again on a thoughtless day limb, laugh, and sing, and rhyme with a woman sitting near, whom I paint in for love, and who may be called hence in my time. From an old note. Conjecture, if there were in my calendar no Emma, Florence, Mary, what would be my existence now, a hermit's, wanderer's weary? How should I live, and how near would be death, or far? Could it have been that other eyes might have uplit my highway? That fond, sad retrospective sight would catch from this dim byway prized figures different quite from those that now arise? With how strange aspect would there creep the dawn, the night, the daytime, if memory were not what it is in song time, toil, or prey time? Oh, were it else than this, I'd pass to pulseless sleep. The blow, that no man schemed it is my hope, yea, that it fell by will and scope of that which some enthrone, and for whose meaning myriads grope. For I would, not that of my kind there should, of his unbiased mind, have been one known who such a stroke could have designed, since it would augur works and ways below the lowest, that man essays to have hurled that stone into the sunshine of our days. And if it prove that no man did, and that the inscrutable, the hid, was cause alone of this foul crash our lives amid, I'll go in due time, and forget in some deep graveyard's oubliette the thing whereof I groan, and cease from troubling. Thankful yet, time's finger should have stretched to show no aimful author's was the blow that swept us prone, but the imminent doer's that doth not know, which in some age unguessed of us may lift its blinding incubus, and see, and own. It grieves me, I did thus and thus. Love the monopolist young lover's reverie. The train draws forth from the station yard, and with it carries me. I rise, and stretch out, and regard the platform left, and see an airy slim blue form there standing, and know that it is she. While with strained vision I watch on, the figure turns round quite to greet friends gaily, then is gone. The import may be slight, but why remained she not hard gazing till I was out of sight? Oh, do not chat with others there, I brood. Hey, are not I, oh, strain your thoughts, as if they were gold bands between us. I all neighbor scenes as so much blankness till I again am by. A troubled sowing in the breeze, and the sky overhead let yourself feel, and shadeful trees, ripe corn, and apples red, read as things barren and distasteful, while we are separated. When I come back, uncloak your gloom, and let in lovely day, then the long dark, as of the tomb, can well be thrust away with sweet things I shall have to practice, and you will have to say. Begun 1871. Finished, at Middlefield Gate in February, the bars are thick with drops, that show as they gather themselves from the fog like silver buttons ranged in a row, and as evenly spaced as if measured, although they fall at the feeblest jog. They load the leafless hedge hard by, and the blades of last year's grass, while the fallow plowland turned up nigh in raw rolls, clammy and clogging lie too clogging for feet to pass. How dry it was on a far back day, when straws hung the hedge and around, when amid the sheaves in amorous play in curtain bonnets and light array bloomed a bevy now underground. Bockhampton Lane. The youth who carried a light, I saw him pass as the new day dawned, murmuring some musical phrase. Horses were drinking and floundering in the pond, and the tired stars thinned their gaze. Yet these were not the spectacles at all that he conned, but an inner one, giving out rays. Such was the thing in his eye, walking there, the very and visible thing, a close light, displacing the gray of the morning air, and the tokens, that the dark was taking wing, and was it not the radiance of a purpose rare, that might ripe to its accomplishing? What became of that light? I wonder still its fate. Was it quenched ere its full apogee? Did it struggle frail and frailer to a beam emaciate? Did it thrive till matured in verity? Or did it travel on, to be a new young dreamer's freight, and thence on infinitely? 1915. The head above the fog. Something do I see above the fog, that sheets the mead, a figure like to life indeed, moving along with specter speed, seen by none but me. Oh, the vision keen! Tripping along to me for love as in the flesh it used to move, only its hat and plume above the evening fog fleece seen. In the day fall wan, when nighted birds break off their song, mere ghostly head it skims along, just as it did when warm and strong, body seeming gone. Such it is I see above the fog, that sheets the mead, yea, that which once could breathe and plead, skimming along with specter speed to a last tryst with me. Overlooking the River Stour. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.